In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I just want to recap what we talked about yesterday, that Peter and John, were told never to preach in the name of Jesus again. And they said, we cannot but preach in the name of Jesus. And so they went back to the community, and they pray like this, "And now, Lord, behold their threats, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, with signs and wonders may be done, by the name of your holy Son, Jesus Christ." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. I tell you, we need people to speak the word of God with boldness and to believe what we read and to preach what we believe. I'm telling you, it's so very important that people are following so many gospels that are not the true gospel. I told you about the Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles is witchcraft. You might say they talk about Jesus. Yeah, but they don't talk about the cross, and they don't talk about the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you, there are so many things out there today to confuse people, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the church, you and I, have not taken the things that come from God and doing the things that come from God, like healing the sick, like preaching like an apostle, like really gathering people together so that their lives would be changed. So it's all about a changed life, the Christian message is. A changed life, taking a heart of flesh and giving up a heart of stone. I'm looking at the 5th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and it says, "And by the hands of the apostles there were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." It's amazing. Signs, are there signs and wonders being operative in the local church? People have to know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We do not only speak about Jesus, but we have authority to be bold and to say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Now, I know everyone is not healed. I'm not stupid. But we are to pray for healing, and we are to believe that God heals. I told you about honey. Honey came last year with a detached wet retina, and we prayed on a Saturday night as we usually do, and when she went back to the doctors, her retina was attached. That's marvelous. Doctor couldn't understand it, and she just went last week to have her eyes checked, and it's still attached. So God attached that whatever. He attached it. The Lord did it. It's wonderful in our sight that you see many signs and wonders were accomplished through the apostles' hands. And they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. That's another thing. They weren't arguing with one another. They were in one accord. They were there believing Jesus. They were there proclaiming the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. I tell you, things were happening because they were not one against another. The worst thing that could happen in a church is you have people against each other. It's wrong. It's sinful. If you have something about a brother or a sister, you go to the brother or the sister, and you let God fix what's troubling you. But you don't go and, cause whatever, scandal or talk against them. You don't do that. You don't do that. And the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnify them. The people magnify them Why? Because they were of one accord, because they're of one heart, because they're of one soul, and that they were one in Jesus, and the people magnified them. You know, unfortunately, in the church, we have so many division, so many divisive things that happen. I'm for this, and I'm for that, and I'm for the other thing. I think we need to say, I'm for Jesus, and I'm different than you are, but it's wonderful that I'm for Jesus, and it's wonderful that you're for Jesus. You know, I'm for Curcio. Well, that, I think it's wonderful. I've never made a Curcio, but you know what? I think it's wonderful. I'm not going to speak against Curcio. I'm for Marriage Encounter, someone says. So that's wonderful. You've learned through Marriage Encounter some beautiful things, and that's wonderful. I've never made a Marriage Encounter. But you see, you have people saying, well, I've received the baptism of the Spirit. And you know what? I'm for the baptism of the Spirit. I am too. But I can't put down people who have not received the baptism of the Spirit. That doesn't do any good. I need to show by what I'm doing that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that people desire, that they are thirsty for God's Holy Spirit. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Why? Because they were of one accord, because they were praying with the sick, because people got better. They were of one accord, insofar that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Well, I saw these streets in Jerusalem. I saw they are narrow as an arrow, I'm telling you. And I don't know how they put people in these streets, because you'd have to walk over the people. They were so very narrow, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. The shadow of Peter. Imagine, there was so much power in the apostles that the shadow of Peter brought healing to the sick. Just the shadow. I'm telling you, I don't want to be under the shadow of Peter. I want to be under the shadow of the cross. My Lord, there's great healing under the shadow of the cross. There's great and awesome healing under the shadow of the cross. There came also multitudes out of cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick people and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So, you see, this experience of healing is part of the teaching experience of the church. When people say, we teach like Jesus, well, are there signs and wonders? You might have the right doctrine, but are there signs and wonders and miracles? But that's not for everybody. I believe it's for everybody, but I don't believe that I can force that on people. Oh, yes, I tell you how great that baptism of the Holy Spirit is. I learned how to minister because I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in front of the Eucharist. I'm here because Jesus baptized me in the Holy Spirit in 1968. You might say, that's a long time ago. That's right, a long time ago. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But sometimes, you know what? I got in the way of the Holy Spirit. I got in the way of God. I got in the way. Does that mean I'm evil? No, it means I'm sinful and I need to repent. That's what it means when I've got in the way of God. You know, I've come to the conclusion that the only thing I can do is surrender my will to the will of God and surrender my life to God Himself. And that's all I can do. And then the Lord does what He needs to do. So many people are not surrendered. They're afraid to be surrendered. Maybe God will take this from me. I'm telling you, rather than take this from you, God will add things to you. Oh, yes, He will add things as you are surrendered. How do I surrender? Well, honey, you just say, Lord Jesus, I've come to the bottom of my life. And I have nothing but you. I surrender my life to you. That happened to Catherine Kuhlman. She had reached the end of her life, and she was on a dead-end street. And it was on that dead-end street she said that Catherine Kuhlman died. And Jesus Christ sent her His Holy Spirit upon her. And that's when her miracle services began, because she completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were all filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. So you can see now what's happening. The apostles are experiencing persecution. Remember how they gathered together before and they said, Lord, look on the threats that they are waging against your people and stretch forth your arm in signs, wonders, and miracles. Now we see the apostles are in prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. Oh, the words of this life. What's this life mean? The words of Christianity, the power of the cross, the power of his death, the power of his resurrection. Oh, yes, yeah, speak all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught. They taught. Oh, yes. I believe that we need to be taught. But we need to be taught how to give our money. We need to be taught how to surrender to the Lord. We need to be taught how to read the scriptures and to believe what we read. We all need to be taught. If you think that I don't need to be taught, you're wrong. I need to be taught. I don't know everything. But God teaches us through other people and in the power of the Spirit. I learned a long time ago that if I wanted God's best, I would have to die. And I told you the story so many times. I was going by a cemetery, and I said to the Lord, this is way before I was a priest, way before the seminary, I said to the Lord, if you want me to be a nothing for another year, I surrender. I'll be a nothing for another year. When I made that prayer of surrender, I found out that the Lord wanted me in the seminary. You see, but I'd still be going around like a dog chasing his tail if I hadn't surrendered. It's so important. I was by a cemetery. What does a cemetery say? Death. I had to die to what I wanted for myself. I'll continue to be a bum if that's going to make you happy. But it wasn't going to make the Lord happy. He showed me how to give myself to him in the seminary. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought out. Well, they're not there anymore. They're not there anymore. Do you believe an angel of the Lord unlocked the door? Of course I believe it. Oh, yes, I believe it. But that's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Oh, nothing is impossible with God. If God can change my life, he can do anything to other people. Oh, yes. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing at all. And when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and said, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened the doors, we found no man within. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes, I could just hear them in the prison singing songs and spiritual songs and singing in the spirit. Oh, yes, I can experience, I couldn't see what they were doing. And, you know, that causes the angels to come upon us. And the angels open the door for them. Isn't it great that we have angelic powers? Isn't it great that I have a guardian angel and you do too? And when we start to do what they do in heaven, that's to praise God, what happens? The angels start doing their job, and that's to help us. The scripture tells us about the angels. Are not these ministering spirits sent to help us who are on the way to salvation? I'll sing it again. Are not these angels ministering spirits sent to help us who are on the way to salvation? Yes, they are there for us. Oh, we don't worship angels, I'm telling you that. But the angel of the Lord came to Mary and told her she was to be the mother of the Savior of the world. The angel of the Lord appeared to Jesus when he was suffering in the garden. the angel of the Lord appeared to the empty tomb. There were two angels at the empty tomb. I tell you, the angels appeared when he ascended. It's so important. Angels are part of our heritage. It's part of what we are to be. Saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. In other words, if this is what they're doing, how is it? We can't stop it. Remember what Gamaliel is going to say in a little while. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, and they're teaching the people. Oh, yes, I tell you, in 2014, the people need to be taught. Oh, yes, I worked at a Catholic school for 5 years, and I taught and proclaimed Jesus Christ every single day. I had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the kids would listen to me. It was so wonderful. I would tell them the things that God was doing. But most Catholic schools are Catholic because they have a crucifix on the wall. No, we are Catholic, and we need to be taught, and we need to be taught how to surrender to Jesus and to give our life to Jesus. It's not good enough to have a crucifix on the wall. It's not good enough. We need people to be taught. Now, I know Andrea Alberti is doing this. I know Father Matthew Williams is doing this. I know Father Eric Caden is doing this. It's so important to teach the people, because the people have never been taught. They don't. It's true. They have never been taught. I can say one thing about my growing up. We were taught that the Catholic Church was the one church. We were taught that we were not to go to the Eucharist if we had mortal sins on our soul. We were taught to give our life to Jesus. I remember Sister Devota Marie in the second grade, she said Jesus was knocking on the door of our hearts and he wanted to come in, and there was no knob on the outside. We had to open our hearts to Jesus so that he could come in. I'm telling you, we were taught. I was a churchman before I was a Christian. That's real. I knew everything, not everything about the church, but I knew the church. But you know what? The greatest thing is when the church preaches Jesus. The greatest thing is when the church preaches the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The greatest thing is when the church tells us that God wants to heal the sick. He does. He wants to heal the sick. Does he heal everybody? No, he doesn't. I don't understand it, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to pray for people to be healed. Because you know what? That's none of my business. I'm not the healer anyway. I know who the healer is. It is Jesus working through the Holy Spirit in my life. That's who it is. And when the captain with all the officials were brought them before without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Yes, the people were like sheep now with the shepherd, because the shepherds are teaching and preaching the word of God. And so they are like sheep with the shepherd. They are not sheep without a shepherd. It's so important that we teach the word of God. Last week we had the story of Emmaus, and I knew that God wanted to tell people that these two men were very discouraged. They were leaving Jerusalem and on their way back home, and they were discouraged. And I told the people, discouragement and fear are the walking sticks of the devil. You can always know where the enemy is. How? Because he makes us discouraged, and he makes us afraid. He makes us afraid. You need not be afraid, because Jesus says, fear not, for I have come to give you life, and to give you life more abundantly. Did not we straitly command you people not to teach in the name of Jesus? And behold, you people have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. That's Jesus. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I tell you, that is still the truth. I want to obey God rather than men. If people tell me, I had this young kid that came to our healing service in Arizona, and he said to me, what kind of virtues do you have? I said, listen, I'm a broken vessel, and God works through broken vessels. Oh, and he was trying to tell me that what we did was not in the will of God. We saw people that were blind healed. We saw people that were in walkers healed. We saw so many people that were healed. And now this kid, and he was just a kid, said, you know, you people have no right to be doing this. I wasn't going to fight with them. You know what I'm saying? One guy said, why don't I go and punch him in the face? I said, no, let him alone. Let him talk. We know what's true. And that's, he soon left. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Yes, that's real. Him God exalted at his right hand to be a prince and the Savior, forgiving repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. I tell you, obedience is very important. To obey what God has been showing you, to obey. And you can check it out with somebody else, because it's good to check it out. You know, people come and say, you know, God told me to buy a flock of sheep. I said, you're hearing wrong. He's not telling you to buy a flock of sheep. He's telling you to tend the sheep in your own house, the people in your own house. But I heard, buy a flock of sheep. Well, you know what? You heard wrong. Our hearing is imperfect. That's real. Our hearing is, that's why it's always good to check it out with someone else. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay the apostles. They stood up there, one counsel, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. He had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, get them out of here. And they said unto them, you men of Israel, Gamaliel says, take heed to yourselves that you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theophilus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. In other words, the followers of Theodos, after he died, you know, it just died out with him. And then there arose a man named Judas of the Galilean in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Didn't work. And now I say to you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you have found yourself fighting against God. This is the voice of reason. You see, the Sadducees were very upset because they were teaching the resurrection in the person of Jesus. And Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. They are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. But I'm telling you, Gamaliel said, let the people alone. Let the disciples alone. If this is not of God, it will dissolve. If it is of God, you would find yourself fighting against God himself. Let me tell you, the greatest thing about persecution is that it caused the apostles to leave Jerusalem and to go out to all the world and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And I told you that they used Caesar's roads. All roads lead to Rome. They used these roads, and they found out that these roads would lead to different places, and they would preach. They would preach to whoever would hear them. They would preach of Jesus and how he died and how he was buried and how he rose from the dead. They would teach in the name of Jesus, and they got converts. How do you think we have the letter to the Philippians? That was Paul preaching in Macedonia, yes. And he tells them about Jesus and who Jesus is, and they receive the Spirit, and the Spirit comes, and not only the Spirit comes, but they start speaking in other languages, they start prophesying, they start healing the sick. You see, all the things that the early church did, we should be doing, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. There is no difference between Jesus with the apostles and Jesus with us. You might say, I'm a sinner. Well, the apostles were sinners too. If you're a sinner, get right with God, go to confession, and repent. I thank you for listening. I'm on this time every day proclaiming the word of God as I know how to do it. I'm sure that God can give me more instructions on how to do it, and I want to be open to it. But you know what? For 30 years, we've been proclaiming the gospel of Jesus on the radio. We've been on WEZE for 30 years. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. And this is the address: Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.